Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I'm David Bahnsen in for Larry Kudlow, and I am very excited to bring on a couple more guests now just to continue talking markets, talking everything going on in this crazy world. Maybe we'll even talk a little bit about student loan relief and see if these guys paid off their student debts back in the day or someone gave them the money. Look, first we're going to bring on Ken Pelsari, managing partner, Case Capital Advisors, chief market strategist at Slate Stone Wealth. Wonderful writer. He's been on TV all the time. I've been on with him a couple times. Love hearing everything Ken always has to say. And then very happy to bring on with Ken, Jack Jack Barogian, chairman of the Global Smart Commodity Group. Guys, thanks for being on with me here on the Larry Kudlow Show. Ken, I'll start with you. What's your take on the Fed and the market response yesterday?
Listen, Dave, first of all, it's a pleasure to be on with you, and congratulations on that spot. How great is that? So here's my response. Here's my thought about that. I've been saying it since November that Fed was going to have to get aggressive. I was disappointed all year long when they were not as aggressive as I thought they should have been. This week, I was telling everyone in my note that if you thought he was going to come out and signal he was going soft, you were completely wrong. I didn't see how he could possibly suggest that because of inflation running at 8.5% at the CPI level and 6.5% at the PCE level, which is their favored gauge. But one way or the other, what I'm a little bit surprised is maybe the reaction that the market had yesterday, which I think was a little bit overdone because I think a lot of people were in my camp thinking that was going to have to happen. But look, they took it up 20%, you know, during the month of August. Everyone's going, oh, no, look at that. CPI is great. They're going to go soft. And look, it's all off to the races. When, in fact, it really isn't. So this is just an adjustment. I suspect more chaos in the weeks ahead as we pull into the FOMC meeting. Which, by the way, I think they should just do an interim meeting. I don't think now that he made that statement that they should wait till September. They should raise rates now and get it over with.
That's an interesting thought, but let me ask you, Ken, as a follow-up, you talk about the potential overreaction in the stock market yesterday, but I pointed out in my monologue, the bond market didn't move. The 10-year right. didn't move a basis point. The 2-year didn't move a basis point. What does that tell you? To me, it seems that rate expectations are pretty baked in. You have that inversion in there. Right. Does it mean anything to you that the bond market actually shrugged it all off?
No, I think what the bond market is telling you is that the recession, if it's not already here, is coming for sure. I was also a little bit surprised to see that the bond market did not react. But you know what? We may see more of a reaction in the bond market next week after people have a chance this weekend. They're going to dissect it. They're going to discuss it. They're going to figure out what it really means. They're going to figure out, you know, where we really are. Certainly all the Sunday morning talk shows like this are going to create conversation. And I think we may actually see more of a reaction next week.
Well, Jack, let me bring you in. What are your thoughts? Fed action yesterday. Ken believes that the Fed has to stay hawkish. I think they have to stay hawkish with rhetoric, but I still think a point comes where they capitulate. That point isn't yet. Where are you at with the Fed?
Well, David, Powell's doing his job. That's really what's happening. He's finally doing his job. He, you know, price stability has been the mantra for the Fed for now for a while, and we have seen what they've done. They made money worthless for so long that now when he starts to do what he's supposed to do, everybody's in shock. Well, the bond market's not in shock because the bond market knew exactly what he was talking about and exactly what he had to do a couple of months ago. It inverted a couple of months ago waiting for this to happen. I remember being on Larry's show back in maybe May and talking about it because we were not yet inverted. And I said, that will be the signal. That will be the signal that tells us that the rest of the market is going to follow suit. And the one argument I'll make with Kenny is that not everybody is as smart as he is. All right. When they saw that bounce happening, you had a lot of people that were expecting a pivot. They were expecting Powell to pivot based off of the inflation numbers that are coming because there's so much volatility in them. But the reality is that there's so much more happening. And the one thing that I'll add, and I know it's a good segue into other things we'll talk about, is that just maybe that the student loan thing, all right, turned out to be the straw that broke the camel's back. Remember, we have been talking about fiscal restraint and how it just did not exist. And all of a sudden, you've got a situation where you've got the Fed pulling back on the reins. All right. They're starting to cut back on money supply. And you have got some serious spending coming out of D.C. It gets to the point where people that own stocks go, wait a second. This might not be the right time to be this long with equities and have this much risk exposure.
But Jack, let me push back on that part, because the problem is that the announcement came Wednesday. Right. The markets had Wednesday to hear about this insane student loan forgiveness idea. And they went up 400 points Thursday.
Right.
They went
right.
down 1,000 Friday. But it doesn't seem to me like I wonder if the markets don't even believe this student loan nonsense is going to happen, that the courts are going to boot it out.
Light volume. Remember, that rally happened on light. And Kenny will tell you, when we're in the middle of August and you see snapback rallies like that, you always have to, you know, take them with a grain of salt. And that's exactly right. What happened. It happened on very, very light volume. And what it did is it kind of set the stage. And again, people were waiting for the pivot, and which did not come. When he held his ground, when Powell held his ground, all right, the bond market proved right. And that means the stock market is probably going to lose another 10 to 15% just to get to where the bonds are telling us it should be.
But Kenny, right. if the bond market is kind of pricing this in the right way, it's telling us two things. It's not just the short end of the curve at 3.38 saying the Fed's going to get up to a 3.50 Fed funds rate. The 10-year is at 3. The 10-year is 50 basis points off of its high from a couple months ago. Isn't the 10-year telling you that long-term inflation and long-term growth are going to have downward pressure, that at some point on the other side of this, we're back to Japanification, low growth, slow growth? Isn't that the long end of the curve telling us?
Well, I mean, listen, that's certainly – you could discern that from the long end of the curve. I'm just not sure yet that that I believe – I just don't believe it yet. But you could get people that will say, just like you said, that, yes, it's telling us we're going to get the slowdown. Yes, it's telling you that rates are not going to go much higher from, you know, where they are, that the market's going to catch up. I'm just in the camp that I think the bond market is confused at the moment based on what I think is going to happen, right? Because I think he's not going to back off on rates. I don't see how he can. And I'm afraid that this is going to be a repeat of what we saw in the late 70s and 80s, that the CPI, you know, is going to roll over just for a couple of months, and then it's going to rear its ugly head again and shoot higher as we move into the fall, because I think energy is going to rise again. We're already seeing it. It's up 11% in 5 days, you know, so it's taken back some of that 25% retreatment that it gave us for the month of August. It's starting to head higher again, and that's going to start to reflect itself in the CPI, whether it's in September or whether it's October, and I think that's what's going to catch the market by surprise.
So there's two elements there, right? There's both what the actual inflation rate would do, and then what the Fed's response to all of it would be. And you guys are both arguing that, no, Powell's serious about this, where he sees inflation, he's committed to price stability. But Joe Livorno in our last segment brought up the balance sheet, okay? And so we're talking all about what they're going to do on rates. They've been allegedly getting $47 billion a month off of their $9 trillion balance sheet, much like someone with $100,000 you know, paying down 10 bucks a month or something like that. So it hasn't been much, but they're doubling it next month. We're going to start supposedly seeing close to $100 billion a month come off the balance sheet. We haven't seen this. The dual activity of significant balance sheet reduction and interest rate hikes at the same time since Q4 of 2018. When we saw it in Q4 of 2018, credit markets froze up and Powell threw in the towel in about 25 seconds. Do you think that the QE reversal, quantitative tightening, as they kick it up a notch, will accelerate the eventual capitulation that I'm predicting?
Well, listen, I think if they start to tighten and they see the market completely fall apart, that they'll pull back on the tightening before they'll pull back on rates. I think it's easier for them to say, okay, let's pull back on the tightening. Let's go back to $45 billion a month or whatever the number they want to choose versus pivoting and capitulating on rates. That's just how I see it.
Jack, what's your take on that?
this Fed has a credibility problem, a huge credibility problem. And if they were to do anything other than what they are saying right now and maintain their mantra and keep on this road, they are going to completely have a huge problem with the markets. It's getting to that point. You know, nobody seems to believe what the Fed is telling us. Look, they're even telling us that a recession isn't two negative quarters in a row. They're trying to reinvent the wheel here in front of our eyes.
And but Jack, why do you think people would not believe what the Fed's telling you? I mean, this is the part I got to defend those who don't believe it, because they haven't meant it for 20 years. They haven't meant it once for 20 years.
It's not their job. Their job is not to make us feel good about the economy. Their job is to be the vanguard of the banking system, to watch out with their dual mandate, all right, for employment and for price stability. That is their job. When they start to get political in any way, when they start to become the salve, all right, when they start to become our panacea in some ways, that is the wrong way to look at it.
But
that
I'm not talking about what they ought to be doing. I'm saying what they have done, going back to Greenspan through Bernanke, Yellen, Powell. The history is that they have generally coddled risk assets. They've generally coddled housing.
That's because they have made cash worthless. We know that. We've watched that, and that's why we're going through this type of agita as we watch the market doing what it's doing, because it's got to get back down to levels that make sense. It's been acting it's been on air for so long. It's been on a sugar high. This is what happens when you take a patient off of steroids. You have been shooting the patient with steroids now for a decade, and you're making it sicker and sicker and sicker. You've got to take
more than a decade
off. And exactly, well, more than a decade. And now we've gotten to the point where you've got artificial pricing, you know, for years in the fixed income market. And now you've got artificial pricing in equities until we can get to the point where we find equilibrium.
Okay, guys, we got to take a break. We got to take a break here for commercial. We're going to pick that up when we come back. We're going to talk about steroid economics and the Federal Reserve. Back at you after this commercial break.